first thought this morning, the word storm doesn't really capture it, does it? Weather bomb, say the tabloids. Explosive cyclogenesis, say the scientists. I think the French might have captured the moment best, though. They are referring to Eowyn as a tempest, which feels about right. If you think of us all there, huddled, listening to tiles being ripped off the roofs and ancient trees groaning under the strain, a tempest does seem fitting. Keith Leonard, head of the National Emergency Coordination Group, good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip.
We're just picking ourselves up off the canvas now when strong winds are going to be brought in by Herminia tomorrow. Do you expect that to hamper the cleanup?
We're keeping an eye on it, and we'll hear again from Met Aaron this morning on the latest update. I talked to Met briefly last night about that new storm, but my sense is that while there will be some, you know, moderate winds with it, we're not going to see any extreme difficulties other than, unfortunately, the impacts on people who are already very badly affected with no electricity and no water and all the cascading effects that brings.
Siobhan Wynne from ESB is going to give us an update on the electricity. Perhaps you'd give us the big picture on the rest of the problems we're facing.
So, look, really, the local authorities were out as soon as they possibly could yesterday to try and clear roads and deal with fallen trees right across the country. And again, the scale of disruption across the public operators in terms of transport and also the road transport is very significant. But today we are really in the national coordination space, turning ourselves now to very much supporting ESB networks and AirGrid to try and restore power wherever possible and to really prioritise that work today.
Let me bring in Siobhan Wynne there, ESB Network Regional Manager. Siobhan, in its nearly 100-year history, has the ESB ever faced a larger cleanup operation?
Good morning, Philip. No, absolutely not. Like this, I know the word has been probably overused at this stage, but it's completely unprecedented, the impact of this storm on us. Like to put it into context, previous storms, you know, in recent memory, we all remember Storm Dara back in December, Storm Ophelia in 2017. Like that resulted in almost 400,000 customers without power in each of those storms. First, this storm we had at its peak yesterday, 768,000 customers without supply.
Nearly a million premises on the whole island, so we can't ask for crews north of the border. Are we asking our continental cousins to lend a hand?
We have. We've been in contact with both the UK companies and also the French utilities, but we're waiting to see. They're assessing their position now. So, you know, we haven't got confirmation that we will be able to get assistance from those sites.
Are you still at the stage where you're trying to assess the size of the problem, or has the cleanup work begun in earnest?
So it's a bit of both, depending, you know, I suppose, on where you are in the country. You know, the storm swept through the country from coming up from the south to the north. So yesterday, as the alerts were lifted, we were able to start getting crews out in the southern part of the country and to start, you know, addressing the emergency calls and damage assessing. And so we have been able to restore a large number of customers now over the course of yesterday. So over 240,000 customers had their power supply restored yesterday. And then today we have crews out already on the ground. So it's going to be a mixture today of responding to the remaining emergency calls, making safe, and then damage assessing where the faults are and beginning a repair.
Okay, so given then that you are still doing damage assessment, if people are using PowerCheck to see when supply might be returned. You were saying yesterday that it might not be accurate. Is it a bit more accurate today?
So yesterday, yes, we weren't giving estimated restoration times because we weren't in a position to do it. We hadn't seen enough of the damage. Over the course of today, as I say, we will be doing damage assessment and we'll start populating those restoration times in PowerCheck. So it is worthwhile people over the course of the day to check in and PowerCheck, see if your fault has been registered. Register for the updates, and then as we update it, you'll be able to get the most up-to-date position.
Do you expect that the winds that Herminia is going to bring is just going to mean that it's not going to be safe for crews to be going up ladders and up in cherry pickers?
We, I suppose, as Keith had said, we'll have to wait and see, you know, what the extent of the next weather system is. We're hopeful that it's not going to impact on our progress. You know, if it's only a yellow warning, it shouldn't impact. But again, we just have to assess it as we go.
Okay. Siobhan, thank you very much. And I have to say, as I was driving in here from Wicklow at 5 o'clock this morning, it was just 1 degree above zero. And there was ESB crews out already getting ready to take advantage of first light when it came. And I thought, big thank you from all of us to all of you, because these are not the best work conditions for anybody. Keith, just back to the rest of the picture, broadband, water, how do you think progress is going in restoring those?
Again, Irish Water and the telecoms operators are standing by and ready to restore those services. There is a dependency in both those sectors on the power piece. So really, again, the piece that ESB Networks is doing, and as you so rightly highlighted, that really hard work by the crews out there for me, that's the core piece of work, which will, again, lead to restoration of services across a range of sectors.
Okay. Keith Leonard and Siobhan Wynn, thank you very much. Now, Ray O'Folu in Clare will be one of those people who's probably listening to this programme on battery-powered radio this morning. Ray, good morning.
You're dead right. God bless the radio for parts of the West Coast the last couple of days.
You went to bed on Thursday night with 16 acres of a 20-year-old spruce plantation below your house near Spanish Point in Clare. What had happened to it by yesterday morning?
Well, the bit of it that I can see from the hill, I don't want to go down into it because it's too dangerous, but the bit of it I can see is flattened anyway. So, yeah, we went to bed at 11. I was hoping to sleep through the storm, but no such luck, up all night. And the storm Dara had kind of gave the plantation a fair rattling already, so it was on my mind that it might go. But so I went up to it kind of just after first light, and I kind of had to double-check, you know, this block of trees that had kind of filled the skyline was gone. It was on its side. So look, for us, it was an experimental plot. We were transitioning the spruce over to a semi-natural woodland, but my heart goes out to a lot of forest owners this morning who maybe are wondering, is their pension lying on the ground, or, you know, something they've put a long time into, and we're hoping to get a return from, I'd say, you know, as kind of the internet comes back online, we're probably going to see stories like that up and down the West Coast, you know.
Ray, I saw a picture taken by a drone, and when you say that the plantation is flattened, you're not joking. I mean, it looks like a division of Panzer tanks drove over it.
Yeah. No, there's a couple of trees standing. So, we'll have to get in there. You know, as I say, for us, it was experimental in nature.
Yeah.
But, you know, for someone who's got timber, like, it reduces the timber value a bit, you know, so, yeah, it's a big problem for others. But, you know, that's just one of the, like, on the way over, actually, yesterday morning, Philip, you know, I was pulled in by a neighbour. He said his hay barn was across the road, and I saw another couple of them. You know, I spoke to one of our polytunnels here at Home Tree, was flattened, and I spoke to two other growers in the area with polytunnels, also lost their tunnels last night, and I saw a fella in Connemara lost 5 or 6 of them. So, yeah, really significant damage there. And, look, the main thing I was kind of taking from it, I heard your man on the radio from NUIG yesterday saying, yeah, a new record set. And just like the heat records in the summer, this is unfortunately the new normal we're all going to have to grapple with.
All right, Ray, thank you very much for taking the call. We were calling farmers all up and down the Western Seaboard yesterday, and it tells its own tale that most of those phone calls were going straight to voicemail. One that didn't was to a man living high on a hill over Dingle Bay. Dinny Galvin, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Philip. Yes, I'm well, thank God, yeah.
Have you ever seen anything like Eowyn?
No, we've never seen anything like it, no. Things were pretty bad back in 2000, and it was 12 or 13, and there was a bad wind in the month of February that did quite a bit of damage. But I think, the last night there was unprecedented. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it.
You're just up the road from that house where the gable end blew in Ventry. And the reason that I was keen to speak to you is people will remember from, I think it's about a year and a half ago we were talking to, you had persuaded farmers all up and down the Dingle Peninsula to put solar panels on the roofs of their sheds. How did they fare?
Yes, they're all. There's 15 sets of PV deployed on the farms. There's about another 25 deployed on businesses through another SCC, Tourism and Hospitality SCC, that's working here. No, all's well. We were able to check in yesterday.
That's amazing.
To see, you know, and yeah, no, well, I think, you know, the on-farm survey and the survey, the audit for the farm or the business before you put up the PV panels, you just don't put PV panels on a bed roof.
Well, it's a good news story. It shows that we can adapt to the new normal, as Ray was saying. Dinny Galvin and Ray Afolo, thank you both very much.